and welcome to this week's episode of MCW Fancast. My name's Emma, thanks for listening. This week on the podcast, I chat to Bitter and Blue blog writer Caroline Chirat, who joins me on this week's show. We chat about the international break as the World Cup preparations get underway for France. We also look ahead to the weekend, where on Sunday we'll be playing Chelsea in the semi-final of the FA Cup at the Academy Stadium. It was announced last week that Nikita Paris has been named as one of the nominees for the PFA Fans Player of the Month award in the WSL. If you head to www.footballfancast, you'll be able to cast your vote. Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Nice to catch up because we haven't spoken in a while. How have you been?
I've been good, thank you. I went to the Canada game with and saw you there.
I know, yeah. We were sat near each other, weren't we?
Well, I was lower down than usual. You were right at the back.
I like being at the back. Yeah,
it was... I went to that and then, yeah, watched Spain on the TV.
I know, so we've had an international break. There's not been any club games or anything like that, and everyone has pretty much gone off to their respective countries.
Yeah.
It was great on Friday night as the Academy played host to the first of the Road to France games at the Academy Stadium, which saw England take on Canada. Great to see the Academy full-ish.
Yeah.
We was expecting a big crowd. Quite a lot of people turned out on the Friday night. Do you want to talk about the game?
It wasn't the greatest.
No.
I don't think team selection was good, and I don't think certainly Miss Bronze's experiment in midfield was good either.
Yeah, I don't think that was Lucy's fault though. No, I think that was more down to the field, to be fair.
Yeah. So I don't think team selection helped. To be honest, out of the squad, Keats did probably was the best player, and then Jill, when she came on, Jill made a really, really good impact.
Yeah.
Sorry, Beth, to be honest.
Yeah.
Both teams had very limited chances. We were just cutting each other out. I think Janine had a shot. I think Tony possibly as well. There was one particular, Keats, before the end of the first half, KB had cleared it and it managed to get down to Keats. She'd laid off to Jodie, and Jodie turned, sprinted down the left with Keats bombing it down the middle. She'd received it. Alicia Chapman had come back to defend, didn't face Keats. She set up on her right foot and she took a shot, but Stephanie LeBay saved it. And that was pretty much it for the first half. Like I said, it was very limited chances. Second half, Jessie Fleming had a chance. Rachel made a poor clearance from a ball in by Michelle Prince for Ashley Lawrence. Rachel, like I said, Rachel cleared it. Jessie Fleming was already in the box, but she sent an effort, went well over the bar, so KB wasn't fazed by that. Janine had a shot in the second half as well. I think it was third, I can't particularly remember, and I can't remember the lead up to it. And it was just unlucky at the end. I mean, I said to myself, we need to watch Sinclair all night. She's chasing Abby on back score record. She's going to want to get there. She's four or five away. And the cross came in. It was a wide cross from Ashley Lawrence. Came in and Michelle Prince collected. She hit the bar and KB's gone down. And then Sinclair just is there to slot the rebound into the back of the net.
I mean, it's hard to put into... That kind of game is a really, really difficult one to put into words, isn't it? I mean... I think, given that it was obviously at the Academy Stadium, a lot of people, obviously we know a lot of City fans were there on the night, looking forward to it. You know, for me, I mean, just away from the game, to walk into the stadium and see it as busy as it was, and the atmosphere that built up in and outside the stadium before kickoff was just great to see. I mean, in terms of, you know, where we're at now and where we were at 4 years ago, and obviously the run up to the World Cup, I think it is certainly looking like it's going to be an exciting summer. It just wasn't the sort of all the times I've been to see and watch England women play live. For me, it was just the poorest game and poorest performance I'd seen. And I did come away feeling disappointed because I didn't even feel that it was a very good game of football. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And it was great to see Ginny Becky, obviously, with Canada. I thought she had a really good game, actually,
she did, to be fair. She's brilliant.
And yeah, it was just a bit of a strange one. I mean, playing players out of positions, mixing it up with rotations and things like that, experimenting, but I think we're done with the experimenting now. We need to sort of see some consistency in the teams and the players that are out there on the pitch so they can work together and start gelling together and creating some strong bonds headed into France, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to explain. It lacked something, but it's hard to tell what it was, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, you were expecting something to come out of it with the players he had on the pitch, like Keats and who we brought on, Beth and Georgia and Ellen and Jill.
Yeah.
And,
like you said, it was
just
a sub.
There might have been something more to it, but there wasn't.
Yeah, it was like you said, like the subs really did have an impact on the game and they did change it up and it gave that bit of energy that it needed because it was so lacklustre in the sort of 60 minutes prior to that, those changes coming into play. So, yeah, it was, I think nobody really wanted to talk about it at the end of it. So it was obviously disappointing to get the loss, but we have these games, take things away from it and to prepare and things to work on heading, obviously, and looking ahead to the summer. So it was then a trip down to Swindon on Tuesday night where England played Spain. Different performance entirely.
Yes,
I think everyone was expecting, obviously, a bit of a reaction statement performance. Again, we saw some rotation in the squad and a different starting 11. Quite a few changes were in there. The performance was completely polar opposite of obviously what we saw on the Friday night.
Yeah, it was a bit of a Friday, like you said, touching on team selection. I mean, I think it was nine changes that he made. He brought in the likes of Millie Bright, Lee Williamson, started Ellie in goal for her first start. He started Georgia. There was a lot of changes, and I think that possibly did pay off. But there was that first period of 15, 20 minutes with breakdown of communication between the back four.
Yeah.
In particular, Rachel Daly and Alex Greenwood, a left back and right back, were having difficult time, and Rachel struggled a lot. She was out of position a bit. Beth was having to come back and help her out, and there was just a lack of communication, whether that was missing Steph, whether Relic, which presumably it will be because it's Steph, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whether that was Ellie not explaining how she wanted them to be, whether that was just not enough. I mean, Leah and Millie haven't played together. So whether it was just because that was a new partnership and it didn't have to get each other as well.
Mm-hmm. I think, like you said, in the first opening 10 minutes, I mean, we were texting one another when the lineup came out and we were just like, that back four might be a little bit of a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's credit to Steph and obviously what she brings to the team in terms of her communication and her experience on the back. I mean, I think it's fair to say that I think everybody's got, you talk about team selections and people have been, you know, throwing names out there. I think when it comes to sort of like the back, I think we could safely probably say we know who will be sort of in mind for that starting 11 when it comes to France. I mean, you know, that relationship that Millie and Steph have on the back on the in the centre back positions is just, I think, imperative and so important. They always seem to be in the right place at the right time. They communicate and read each other so well. I mean, that's what you need, isn't it?
Yeah, and they get, it's like, I was talking with my dad comparing it. It's like when you have more City players in the team, we understand just they just go for it and they know they can rely on the players or the centre-backs to get back and to be there and to clear it. And it's the same translating that into England. Steph and Millie get each other because they're so used to playing with each other. Throw Demi into the mix, Steph gets Demi. Mm-hmm. But then again, Steph and Millie and Demi will play together as well. And then have Lucy on the end. That's a back four that have played together for, whether that's for club or for country, for a while. So it's easier for them to communicate mm-hmm. maybe a little bit less because they can just trust each other. Whereas I don't think we had that.
You know, when you look at, you know, players like Greenwood, though, and, you know, Daly, throw them into the mix, obviously they offer something entirely different, you know, to the team. I think, for me, I think Phil Neville will be probably basing his selections on what kind of games and oppositions he's going to be playing. I think that's where we're going to see the rotations and the changes in the squad.
Touching on what you said about depending on opposition and changing the team selection that way, I was watching the Spain game back and Alex actually made a good point. She said back in 2015 that was one of our strengths. We, in opposition, didn't know who the starting 11 was going to be. So, and she also pointed out that possibly that's what he's doing going into this one, and maybe that will be an advantage again.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do. I think it's quite tactical and it's quite resourceful in the fact that he's utilising every player in their positions and stuff and trying to obviously see the best of them, you know, and giving them their moments to shine and show what they can do. And I think some of it is down to obviously what we've seen at, you know, the latter stages of the game in terms of how they can adapt if they are thrown into, you know, difficult situations where they need to, you know, find something in a game or, you know, it is quite interesting. I think when he has spoken out at the end of the games and stuff, he has been quite honest.
Yeah.
And I've liked what I've heard, do you know what I mean? But I think now we need to, you know, looking ahead, but he has said, you know, now in these last couple of games, we will see what his thinking is going forward.
Yeah.
And I'm quite excited to see where he's at, to be fair. Because I think everyone's a bit, you know, what is going on? I mean, look at Beth Mead. I mean, you know, obviously she's had a great season for a club, but she's also having an impact, a huge impact for England. I mean, it's amazing, you know, what she's brought to the side. And I mean, she scored that goal. You could see how much it meant to her. And I love watching players like that. I've really enjoyed watching her this season. I think she's been fantastic. And if anyone deserves to be going to France, she certainly deserves to be there as well.
Yeah, she does, and she's gonna bring that little bit more edge to the team. I think she's gonna do really well if she goes.
Great to see, obviously, Ellie getting a start as well in the game against Spain. I thought she did really well.
Yeah, I don't want to do this, but if you compare Ellie's performance and Mary's performance, This is gonna hurt you.
Oh my word.
To be honest, I was disappointed with Mary. Whether this is because Ellie's obviously played more games for City and Mary's only played two or three for Wolfsburg, Ellie did so much better. You throw her into any situation and she's fine with it. She will get on, do a job, calm and collected, and you could see, like, obviously, Millie and Leah, different partnership, didn't phase Ellie. Ellie got on with the job. Whether they were having trouble reading each other, Ellie was on it. Ellie had a really good 45 minutes. Yeah, it was really nice to see. But then, I don't know what it was. Mary just wasn't on it as much, and obviously she had that. Obviously there was the staying goal, and then there was a big.
Sorry for laughing. I could keep seeing it in my mind, like the moment when she went out of the box to clear that ball, and I just agree. Like, what are you doing?
I agree. It was bad. I just, to be honest, if I had to pick out of the two, who had the better game, I would obviously go with Ellie, because whether not based on Mary's mistakes, but just watching her. Ellie was so much more confident, and I think Mary would possibly a little bit nervy. And I'll go into detail about the Wobble. I'll go into detail. It's difficult because there's a long ball from a defender. There's a player on the shoulder of Millie, Esther Gonzalez, and Mary does well. She comes out to clear it, and she gets the ball away. She doesn't go back to her goal line. No. She stays out.
Which would have been a really good idea.
Yeah. I don't know what she was doing. It falls to the goal scorer, Bon Matty, and Mary has come, like, right out. This is, like, not even in the area. Like, that's how far out she was. Bon Matty fakes her in one wing as the other. Mary slips over, so we know she's not getting back in goal. Mm. And the Spanish forward sends the ball towards goal, and thankfully it goes wide. Yes, Gemma and Millie and Alex are back to defend, but I mean, what was Mary doing?
Only Mary knows what she was doing.
I know.
I don't know. I feel sorry for Mary. You know, she's been called up. She's not obviously had her moment as such. You know, she's obviously been overlooked in that respect. I would like to see a sign for another club come the end of the season. She should be playing a regular as a number one for a team.
When we watched it for Reading, it was spring series, and we were at home and we played Reading, and it was the game that should save George's penalty. I think it was spring series, not FA Cup. And me and my dad were watching, and I'm thinking, Mary is really good. She's a good goalkeeper. She's gonna go far. And obviously she was Reading's number one at that point. And then the move, a couple of years down the line, move to Wolfsburg came around, and I understand going for experience because that's ace.
Yeah.
But you're behind Germany's number one goalkeeper and Wolfsburg's number one goalkeeper. There is no way on earth that their manager is gonna want to really swap out Amel Schultz for Mary in any game because they're such a high stakes come Germany.
Mm-hmm.
He's not gonna. And yes, I know he's. I think she's played 2-3 games. She came when she's played in the Bundesliga and she's played in some cup. But she was there when Schultz got injured. But again, that's only a handful of games, and I don't think it's improved her game. I think she needs regular football.
Yeah, I agree with that. In all honesty, if she does leave Wolfsburg at the end of the season, in all honesty, I think she'd do really well at United. I think that would be a really good signing for them. Chamberlain, I don't know what her plans are, you know, looking ahead, but
yeah.
I think, you know, if they want to be, you know, serious, well, they will be serious contenders in the WSL next season, I honestly think having a keeper like Mary Earps will do them favours, basically, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Not to take anything away from Siobhan Chamberlain, I hope she doesn't listen to the podcast, but do you know what I mean? I think she would, for me, be, you know, a good first choice keeper in that role for them.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a difficult goalkeeping situation at United, because obviously you've got Siobhan, you've got Emily Ramsey, who's a U17.
She is young.
England player, and they sent our former keeper, youth keeper, Fran Bentley, on loan to Sheffield United.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if Mary, I'm not saying she will retire, but if Mary can come in WSL, establish herself as a number one,
mm-hmm.
it'll really help her.
Yeah.
And obviously having another regular England player, senior England player in the team along with Alex Greenwood, that'll really boost
her confidence.
Yeah, that'll really show that they mean something, because obviously they've only got Alex, and Shiv has been on the fringes of the squad.
Yeah.
So I think that'll really help.
I think, you know, she's got clear qualities, you know, she's got great technical ability. She obviously gets picked, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would just be good to back it up with the football that I think she deserves and the game time that she deserves, you know, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Sorry, the ice cream man's just pulled up. Anyway, so yeah, let's just see what happens with Mary Earps. Do you want a 99?
I've got ice cream in the freezer then.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, the first 10-20 minutes or so of that game, it looked nervy. We didn't really settle into the game. It took us quite a while. Obviously, it was a lot of it was new. You know, and you know, Spain had really good possession. They were passing the ball around really well, and we just weren't really getting a look in. And then, obviously, we seemed to just up the tempo a little bit, and then the spaces began to open up, and we were able to capitalise on it. And, you know, both goals were great goals. For me, Ellen White has been, what I've seen of her, she's been brilliant. She just didn't let up. She just kept fighting. She was chasing the ball down, she was putting on the pressure on the high press. She was impressive for me. I really, really did enjoy watching her performance, particularly in the Spain game. And obviously, she was rewarded with a good goal, you know, a good effort on goal as well.
Yeah.
And it was a great little finish. Yeah, not a bad couple of games, I suppose. taking away the positives, but you know, it wasn't just England, obviously.
Nope.
Scotland as well, they've played really well. They've had some good games. Caroline Weir's been involved, Emsley's been involved, and Jen Beattie.
Yep.
How have they got on?
Like you said, all three of the girls have been involved. Jen and Caroline played 90 minutes in both the Chile game and the Brazil game. Chile, they won drew 1-1. Erin Cuthbert got the goal, and the Chile goal, I think, was a penalty. And then the Brazil game, all three girls started. Claire played 62 minutes and they won that one 1-0 thanks to a Kim Little goal.
Tessa Wollart, Belgium, she's been playing involved with their squad as well.
Yeah, they went over to LA to play the US Women's National Team. She played 90 minutes and she was the captain, but sadly they lost 6-0.
Yeah, that was a bit of a tough result.
Yeah.
Yeah. Less said about that, I suppose.
Yeah.
And we've also had
Megan played 58 minutes in their game, their friendly against Italy 2 days ago. They lost 2-1, but it was Kate McCabe that got the goal for the Republic of Ireland. And then we saw the return of Pauline Braver to international football as well.
That was really good. It was nice to see. Obviously, quite a lot of people wished her all the best for her appearance back with the German squad.
Yeah, they had two games, Sweden and Japan. She played 19 minutes in the Sweden game. They won that 2-1. And then she came on for 9 minutes against Japan, and they drew that 2-2.
Obviously, Janine Becky as well for Canada.
Yeah.
Played well, like you said, in the first game. And in the second game, she got a goal.
Yes, she did. It was a good goal as well.
I haven't seen it.
I have. against Nigeria.
I've been so busy with like packing up and moving.
Sorry,
and,
I've been on it.
I know. I've really struggled to keep up with everything that's going on. And also, obviously, under 19s, Esme and Lauren. Yeah.
Yeah. They had qualifying games against Turkey, Sweden, and Italy. And they were hoping to get to the Euros, which
they did.
They qualified. They won all of their games. Lauren scored in two games. Esme played all three and was captain three times. Like I said, Lauren scored twice, once against Turkey, which they won 7-0. She was rested the Sweden game, but they won that 4-0. And then she came, and then she started the Italy game, and she scored in that game as well, and they won 2-0. So they have qualified.
Yeah, and that's really good as well, and obviously
yeah,
a great achievement for them. And they are playing again, playing really well, aren't they? That squad team of players, they seem to be playing really well and getting some really good results as well. So that'd be really great in the obviously build up to the Euros. I think we've pretty much covered that.
Done. Yeah.
Done. Chelsea. At home on Sunday, Academy Stadium, semi-final of the FA Cup. Yeah. Quite, I still don't really know how I'm feeling about this right now.
No, I don't know.
Yeah. I can't even begin to kind of process it and how we're going to sort of attack this game and what to expect from Chelsea, because obviously they're competing still in the Champions League at the moment. They've got a big semi-final coming up against Lyon. It's hard, really, looking ahead to it and trying to think what we can expect from the game.
Well, I hope Steph's back.
Yeah.
That's one thing. I hope she's fit.
Yeah, well, obviously, it would be great if we can obviously see the return of Steph. She's obviously returned back home after the Canada game as I think it was more of a sort of like a precaution, really.
They said groin injury, but minor, so.
To sort of aggravate anything, any further sort of thing. So hopefully just some good rest will have been good for Steph in getting over that. What are you expecting then from Sunday? I mean, like I said, it's quite hard, obviously, looking ahead to it. Mm. How Chelsea might attack the game. Are they going to put out a weakened squad because they want to obviously throw everything at the Champions League?
Yeah.
Or where, obviously, Chelsea's priorities are, we don't really know. But then it's a cup game and they'll obviously want something for the season, so it's really difficult. You know, when we've met this season, obviously start of the season, we managed to draw a 0-0 draw at King's Meadow. Obviously Chelsea returning to the Academy Stadium not that long ago, we were up 2-0 at half time, and then Chelsea came back in the game and it was 2-2. I don't really know. A lot of people are saying that there won't be much in it. A slender goal lead might be enough for us to obviously take it to Wembley, where we could play Reading or West Ham in the final, but we've got to get there first. It's going to be difficult. Or we could look at maybe the tradition of City's cup run in this FA Cup so far, where we've played Liverpool, Tottenham and Watford and won 3-0.
Yeah.
You never know.
Positive mental attitude, Emma.
I know. I don't know.
Positively.
I know. It's
like
really,
I said.
It's really hard. It's really, really hard.
I've got a gut feeling we're going to win, so if we don't, anybody can.
What was your gut feeling when we went to Bramall Lane, the Connacht Cup?
Oh, that was difficult. I think because it was my first final, so I was a bit all over the place, and I kind of had to focus on taking notes and writing. I really don't know about that one.
I think as well, because we've not seen the team back in training yet, which will probably be tomorrow, which is Thursday. Possibly, they've probably had a day off.
That makes it sound bad.
Oh no, it's Thursday today.
And then tomorrow's Friday.
I know. This is it. I've told you. I don't know where I'm up to at the moment. So it's Thursday today. They would have had a day off today. Obviously, returning just a bit of a break from the internationals. So probably definitely back in training tomorrow.
Yeah.
I would imagine. So that's 2 days training. And then Sunday. So, yeah, we've not really seen the team in action. We've obviously not seen Steph training. So we really just don't know what's going on.
The only advantage you could probably take.
Nick's had plenty of time to prepare for it.
Yeah, and then Chelsea. And then Chelsea have obviously got, if they come back and train tomorrow, they've then got to travel Saturday. That's the thing. You've got to think about it, like, they have the travel time instead. We don't. We're okay. We've got that extra training.
Yeah, but look at the times where that's, like, gone against us. So it's our time, really, isn't it?
we've got, okay, I'll put it this way. We're going to get revenge for last year.
Oh.
When we went out, we can...
Don't start talking dirty.
Well, maybe it's going to be an alternate thing. So they won last year, we'll win this year. You don't know.
No, you don't know. So, yeah, Chelsea at the Academy Stadium Sunday, 3:30 kick-off. The early game is West Ham and Reading, and they kick off at 11:30. And both games are being shown on telly, as far as I know. Which is good.
Red Button and BBC Two.
Yeah, so that's really good. So even if you can't make the game, hopefully you'll be able to at least watch it. But hopefully we can draw a good crowd at the game, because I think we're going to need everyone behind the team, definitely. And if obviously our last game against Chelsea at the Academy Stadium is anything to go by, it's going to be one not to be missed.
Not going
to
be easy.
And it's not going to be easy, but it's one not to be missed for sure. I mean, it's always, Chelsea and City is always one of those fixtures that obviously jumps out on paper, and, you know, a lot of people want to watch it. So hopefully it will be enough to draw a good crowd at the Academy on Sunday, all being well. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to seeing you there. And we'll chat about it next week. Thanks for speaking to me, Caroline. And I'll see you on Sunday.
See you on Sunday.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye. And that's it for this week's episode. Hope you've enjoyed it. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram at MCWFancast. We'll be updating our Twitter feed from the game on Sunday, so make sure you're following along. We'll be also chatting to fans at the game, so if you see us on Sunday, say hello. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode covering the Chelsea game. Hopefully, we'll be celebrating the win and getting to that final at Wembley Stadium. So make sure you're following us on Twitter so you can keep up to date as to when that episode becomes available. It's likely that it might not be out on the Friday just because we're in the process of moving house, so everything's in a bit of a mess at the moment. I can't wait for it all to be sorted, to be fair. I think you can probably tell from this episode that it's just all a bit of a mess at the moment. But all being well, regular service will resume in hopefully a couple of weeks, I hope. We'll be back next week. Have a great week.